Our last speaker tonight is Rich Moniak. Rich grew up in Massachusetts and came to Alaska in 1982. He has lived in Juneau since 1990. Rich is an engineer with the Coast Guard and a KTOO board member. He's involved in Juneau's peace and justice groups, is a big brother to a 9-year-old boy, and this year Rich is hosting an exchange student from Turkey. He also writes a bi-weekly column in the Juneau Empire. He likes hiking, kayaking, and talking to the trees. Here's Rich.
I guess I'm the shortest one here tonight. So my story begins with a kayak trip on Ock Bay. It was one of the typical beautiful Saturday morning, cloudy gray days that we all know in Juneau. I just bought a new kayak and I was taking it out for the first time, and I was anxious to get out there. After paddling about 20 minutes, I looked over my shoulder because my rudder was sticking, and the boat rocked a lot more than I expected it would. I had decided I better figure out how stable the boat was, so I leaned the other way, and I went too far and dumped myself right into the bay. I had never trained for that type of a thing. My extra tufts filled up with water pretty quickly, and I couldn't get them off, and I couldn't get back on the boat. I don't think I was in any real danger, but as I was swimming to the shore, I remember thinking about my parents and my kids, and wondering how they would feel if I didn't make it back. Then somebody picked me up in a jet ski, hauled me in the kayak back to the shore, and I walked to the house shivering, and it was hours before the cold would leave me alone. The next morning, I flew to Anchorage, and as we went over Ock Bay, I looked back down on the water, and I remembered how beautiful it was floating at eye level with all that green and gray around me. Was I lucky? Or would I have made it back without help? All those questions, and I went into a trance all the way to Prince William Sound when the plane suddenly got hit by a jolt of turbulence. And I find myself wondering then, how would I react if that plane suddenly took a dive and headed straight down to the Sound? I thought to myself, I'd rather go in the pleasant, quiet beauty of Southeast Alaska, kayaking on the water, than in a plane crash. Then another thought hit me like a brick. I thought maybe I didn't deserve to die a beautiful death because I hadn't done anything for 48 years. All the things that Alita introduced me to, other than being an engineer, weren't true back then. This was August 2004. That was 8 years ago. I was pretty much a loner at that time, and I was recovering from 7 years of custody battle over my daughter. I didn't have anybody to talk to during the entire time, and the questions of death just haunted me into October. That's when I met Stacy playing a card game online. She worked with terminally ill patients, so death became a natural part of our conversation, and she wanted to hear the whole story. We talked for 17 hours that day, and probably 100 hours in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Stacy was in her early 30s, and she was a fighter. She had a lot of energy, and she faced her challenges with a lot of courage. And she loved the great mysteries. What began as a connection in death flowered into a conversation about beauty and living, fate, and impossible love. I wrote to her every morning, long, long messages. And she would often tell me I would write beautifully. And she would say I needed to get out from under my rock and share them with the world. I would reply that I wasn't a real writer, it was just therapy for my soul. I went to visit her, flew 2,000 miles south, two different times to visit her, and then it all fell apart in the winter. And like every heartbreak, it was pain and sorrow and a lot of questions. The biggest question was I worthy of the love she felt for me? And I thought, not unless I was the man she imagined I was, a writer. Now, a writer wants an audience, and that's not what an introvert goes looking for. But Stacy didn't like quitters. So after indulging in the sorrow for a little while, I decided to write a letter to the Empire about the road going out of Juneau. And when they published that after a few weeks, I tried again with a My Turn about Walmart. And they published that too. About the same time, I found a new friend, a young lieutenant named Todd. I never talked with a man before about love, but I found myself telling Todd about falling in love with Stacy, the whole story. And Todd listened intently, and he kept telling me she'd come back. He also wanted me to go kayaking again. And in July, I finally found the courage to get back on the water. I rented a different boat and paddled from the harbor all the way out to the same place that I had tipped over. I was alone, but I felt Stacy was near me. And I looked up to the sky, and with a few tears in my eyes, I told her I was okay and it was time for me to let go. Todd was with me in Homer a week later when she called. And hearing her voice, it was so familiar, so energetic, it was easy to enjoy it. But we didn't seek romance this time. I began writing to her again every day. I told her that having her back was like finding the meaning of the end of the rainbow. And then a rainbow appeared and wrote itself into our story. And then the winds of war came home. My son was going back to Iraq for the third time. And when Cindy Sheen did her thing at Bush's Ranch, I decided I needed to write something. So I composed to my turn opposing the war. And I felt confident this time the Empire would publish it. And Stacy was so proud of me when they did. There was another rainbow and a more compelling urge to honor our friendship. So I wrote another My Turn Against the War. And this time I got a call from a peace activist in Juneau named Amy Page. It wasn't somebody I knew. And when she invited me to a meeting of the people, Juneau People for Peace and Justice, it was a group I'd never heard of. But I went this time. And I found myself writing a letter with Larry Hurlock, another stranger. In fact, they were all strangers. We wrote a letter together to Congress calling for an end to the war. And then Judith Meyer gave up her spot to me to go sit and talk to the congressional delegation about the war. Rosemary Alexander put my voice into two anti-war stories at JPBJ during our protests. And when I wrote a story about reading the names of our fallen soldiers, Phil Smith, the president of Ventures in Peace, called it lovely and evocative. Stacy and I eventually lost touch with each other. Impossible love was our fate. But chasing the impossible made my transition possible. She came into my life to get me out from under my rock by teaching me I could be a real writer. Thank you.